Hey there, this is Brie Bagwell with Only Vans, and we all know that vinyls are back, baby. Well, they have been for a long time, actually, and my friends at Hand Drawn Pressing have got you covered. They just finished up a reprint of my vinyls, and they really walk you through the entire process. I picked out a different vinyl color for this run, and they're red and black. Oh my gosh. They offer so many color options, and you can also put in inserts in the vinyl jackets or download cards. They can make your customized vinyl dreams come true. They pay for themselves so quickly, it's insane, and their turnaround time is quite impressive, if I do say so myself. Also, they were at my show the other day, like we're friends in real life. How cool is that? They're a Texas-based independent plant helping artists help themselves. Get your vinyl manufactured in the USA by my friends at Hand Drawn Pressing. You won't regret it. Tell them Brie and Whiskey sent you. Go to handdrawnpressing.com for all the info and check out their awesome content on Instagram. Their handle is at Hand Drawn Records. Hey, Only Vans listeners, this is Brie Bagwell, and I want to invite y'all to join me August 14th through 17th in Red River, New Mexico, my home state, for 8750 Festival 2025. This boutique festival features 3 nights and 3 days of outstanding musical performances across 4 venues, alongside a barbecue cook-off, a CASI red chili cook-off, a state championship green chili cook-off. This is after my heart, y'all. This year's lineup is stacked, and there are no overlapping shows, so you don't have to miss one single note. 3-day passes are on sale now, and they are expected to sell out. The 3-day pass gets you into every show Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and it includes 2 full meals and a discounted lift ticket to get you up to Music on the Mountain on Sunday. You can get tickets to sign up to compete in a cook-off and learn more over at their website, 8750festival.com, 8750festival.com. You can use coupon code ONLYVANS, that's all caps and no space at checkout, to save
$10
off of your 3-day passes. Once again, go to 8750festival.com, get your tickets, and join me for an incredible weekend.
I can't. I'm so glad that we started this podcast off like that. So, good, see, great.
Well, look, talking about farts can start to get into some meaningful topics.
Right. Like, you know? Why is your wife not here? That was my first things first, because I was all excited.
Because I farted last night. She was out. Yeah.
She's done. Yeah. Well, she's actually going to see my boyfriend tomorrow.
She is? Oh, did she tell
me?
You that?
Yeah, she told me.
Hey, everybody. This is Brie Bagwell, and this is my podcast, Only Vans, where I talk to my friends in my van.
Guys that have older brothers, I find them to be very, very unaware.
Yeah.
Like, it's like,
And in the van, like, I feel like the boys are super respectful, and they always have, like, even in the early days, like, people are pretty respectful. Like, no one's just, like, ripping it in the van. I don't want to say that word, but, like.
Sure.
They, like.
Are we just talking about farting? Is that what we're.
This is why I invited you here. Yeah. To talk about that. Yeah. And to talk about and then once
no
you
I mean
leave,
are there other things that guys would do in front of girls that are nasty other than farting?
I see what you mean. Well, I think just burping for the sake of burping is also gross.
I totally agree.
And I think if you're, you know, I remember someone that ate Doritos and ate, like, oh god, I'm gonna
burping thing will get me worse than a little toot. It will. The burping I can't do that either.
But I also think, like, clipping your toenails and leaving them
okay
would be gross.
Yeah, so now we're getting into, like, just straight personal hygiene, just being disgusting.
See, yeah, but that's how you feel, but that's not how all guys feel.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I've dated people where I'm like, I can't. Or when people sometimes will make really gross, like, in the morning.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, just hawking one up. No, I'm not into that.
Paula's never done that.
I also like my wife being able to just, like, I don't want to treat her like she's not my buddy. She's not my friend.
She's not your friend.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's just different. I don't want her to feel like she's got to hang with the boys.
Yeah. Or, like, not think you're hot anymore. Like, that, yeah. Like, I can't. I'm so glad that we started this podcast off like that. So, good,
see,
great.
Well, look, talking about farts can start to get into some meaningful topics.
Right. Like, you know? Why is your wife not here? That was my first things first, because I was all excited.
Because I farted last night. She was out. Yeah.
She's done.
Yeah.
Well, she's actually going to see my boyfriend tomorrow.
She is? Oh, did she tell
me?
You that?
Yeah, she told me. Yeah. And I was like, because I said, are you coming? Because she's awesome. I got to meet her when I met you. And I was like, who is this person? Because she's so cool. Like, she looks so cool. She's hideously cool. Ugly.
She's brutal to look at.
Yeah, if you don't know me, that's extreme sarcasm. But then I followed her, and she just does all this cool stuff. She's just the coolest. And so I was hoping she would be here today, but.
Yeah, she couldn't make it down. She's got to work. She just got like a new badass job training a bunch of really fancy horses. So she's usually just been on her own, like had her own business training, which is a grind. Yeah. And then now she just got hired on by some really wealthy people to train for them exclusively. Oh. So she's like on a salary and stuff. She's like living the dream.
That is the dream.
Yeah. And she's like getting to ride horses that like we would never be able to afford. I mean, if we ended up being super wealthy, maybe later in life we could have like one of their horses, but she's got like 10 or 15 that are
maybe
just
they'll
insane.
Just give you one as a
that would
thank
be great.
You.
I'd be all about it.
Dang. Well, I'm sorry. It's so hot in here, guys. The generator is not working. And of course it's like, Josh Greider was just here.
Really? Today?
One of my favorites in the whole world. This is the second one. And so my dog is not here because she was like.
Yeah, she's out on that.
Yeah, she's inside. This is where we're renting while we're building our house down the road. So hopefully it's just up the road a little bit. When you play Green Hall anytime, you all can come stay at our house.
Yeah.
We'll just give you the code because we're never there. The invitation is open
Thanks.
For that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is. Yeah, so if this is your second podcast for the day, this is like, you've done a lot of listening already.
I'm going to be real dumb right now. No, I'm just
Is Josh kidding. A talker? I've never
He was him. Talking his little tail off.
Look at him.
I had so much to talk to him about because he's from Las Cruces, where I'm from originally.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so my first show ever was opening for Josh Greider when I was 14.
Really?
And so it was really cool to talk to him about that. And now we're neighbors and we have dinner all the time and I love him and his wife. So that was really neat, but we don't need to talk about him. I wanted to tell you what I ate this week.
That's a perfect segue.
Speaking of Josh Greider, I ate pork chops this week because I was listening to your podcast. And I gotta say, you are right. Like, pork chops are an underrated.
Oh, they're a sleeper. It's a sleeper meat. For
super
sure.
Affordable.
Very.
Is there any pork chops that can sponsor this podcast?
Because who was I talking to?
William Clark Green.
About pork chops.
Bill Grease.
That makes sense. Yeah, that
I
makes
guess
sense.
He has a meat company. Do they make pork? No, he
he's
has.
He's got a lot of meat going. Yeah, there's a lot of meat over in his world. Yeah, for sure.
Pigs, though.
I don't think he has pigs. I was trying to just make a meat joke. It didn't really land the way that I thought it would.
I didn't hear it. You should do it again.
I said I'm not doing it again. I feel like you heard it the first time, but that was slick. You almost got me to say it twice. That would have been good. Bad joke twice probably does make it funny.
Well, I'm going to hear it when this podcast comes out.
That's right.
I was probably trying to think of my own meat
Perry's,
joke.
Though. You ever been to Perry's Steakhouse?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, they've got a pork chop. Apparently. I still haven't gotten it. I kind of almost don't want to get it because I've heard such great things about it. It's kind of like meeting your idol or your hero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of want him to be a...
No, we should go get that pork chop. I think that's fine.
Yeah, that would be great.
Wesatch Grill here in New Braunfels has a good pork chop.
But you can get like a freaking 2-inch pork chop for $5.
That
$4.
Is the musician's steak.
I don't think they're eating them enough.
I know.
This is almost should be more like a PSA.
We don't need to tell everyone the price of pork chops is skyrocketing.
We're going to move the market for sure.
You're like, wow, what happened to we? If we are to thank for some poor like pig farmer that really needs a boost,
right.
I'm kind of here for that. But I love your podcast and it's the Jairus Morris vibe. Mess that up, sorry. But it really is a vibe, like the song, the music, and the
Thanks.
Logo and the room. And then I was telling Kyle that I was on Spotify and you have the video of it on Spotify.
Oh, really?
Did you know that?
What do you mean?
When you get on Spotify to play your podcast, the video plays on Spotify.
The video of the podcast?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
We didn't know that you could do that.
How did we? Yeah.
Well, we were going to ask you.
Well,
and
I knew. Yeah.
Okay. Steve, who knows this?
Yeah. It was pretty slick.
Yeah. Okay.
I didn't actually know that, but that is cool. Well, and doing the video component to these things is like quite difficult. There's a lot involved. I haven't done one in a while, but you're supposed to do one whenever you play up there sometime.
Yay. Well, I hope so. I would love to do it. Yeah, doing the video as a girl is a little different, but people that watch this podcast are going to be like.
Say that again. What do you mean?
But I don't usually wear. People that watch on YouTube are going to be like, this is not what she looks like. Because usually we don't film these on show days.
Okay.
And I usually look just kind of like I'm dead. Because I'm not going to put on makeup and get ready on a Monday.
Okay.
That's not something I'm here for.
So do you feel like this perception is something that you are just thinking about, or do you think it's like a real perception?
Like of how I look?
Yeah.
I think that over the years, people kind of know that they are rolling the dice with me. I might show up looking completely like a homeless person who hasn't showered in a week, or I might show up with like full glam and everywhere in between.
I think that but that's actually cool, because you would have been doing that before it was like hip. You know how now it's like, it starts to become almost inauthentic, to where it's like, you know, you'll see a girl post something where it's like they purposefully, it's like they just got done crying. You know what I mean? And it's like, okay, I know you're trying to be like super authentic and real, but like you just sort of manufactured that, which is very inauthentic.
Yeah. Or people, right? When they post pictures of their house and it's like the house is kind of messy and they're like, guys, believe it or not, my house isn't always perfect. Yeah, here's an example. And you're like, well, I didn't ask.
Very funny, too, because you're like assuming that everybody already thought you were perfect. Exactly. Or just like, what?
Exactly. Or the girls with like, they're like hashtag all natural, but they're doing like thousands of dollars of skincare and stuff to get look all natural. That's, you know, whatever.
Oh, that's very funny.
Whatever.
So at least you were being yourself before it was cool to be yourself.
You heard it here first. Jared Morris, everybody.
Do you feel me, though? Like right now we're in a state of like, in, I guess, showbiz, if you want to call it, where it's all about being like as authentic and real as possible, which is cool, super dope. Mm-hmm. But then at some point it starts to become very disingenuous if you're like manufacturing being real.
Or like, guys, I'm being real with you right now, whereas all the other times I wasn't actually being real, but this time this is me being authentic.
I know.
It's like it's
very bizarre.
It's strange. Well, so you're kind of like a conundrum too, as far as the things that I've gotten to know about you, where like you'll sing a wide variety of things at your shows. Like I pictured you as like, you know, you're the cowboy, you're the horseshoer, you're not. You're like all these other things too.
Sure, sure. I mean, yeah, I'm glad you at least picked up on that. I still can't decide if that's a good thing, but
I think it is.
Yeah, I hope so.
Because most straight horseshoes are. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
Just kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
I am. This is actually the podcast that I come out. Okay. I am gay.
Perfect.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah, this is where I come out.
Oh. Your poor wife. She's sorry you had to find out this way.
Yeah, she's pissed. No, it's figuring out like who you are and how to be authentic. You know, you just dive deeper and deeper and deeper into it. I've had a really hard time like with the industry, booking agents, people just trying to figure. They just want to put you in a box so bad. And I know that sounds cliche, but the thing that they pitch you on is like you're so unique. And like, there's nothing like you. You're so yourself. And then on the other hand, they're like, okay, well, we don't really know what to do with you. It's a double-edged sword in a lot of ways.
100%. Or they say, okay, we love how you are so you, but now change everything and do it this way. Or like you said, they don't know what to do with you.
Like if you wear, I wear a cowboy hat and like, I like the cowboy thing, but like, I don't, my show is not, I'm not, freaking let's tonk it up, brother. Like if I hear it one more time, I'm gonna freaking lose my mind.
Tonk it up.
Like how is this actually still a thing? We're just out here tonking, baby. What you talking about?
Tonking's like, hard for me too.
I'll tell them too. Like I'll light them up to their face, you know. I don't care. Like in good fun, because like some of those guys that are doing I like the honky tonk thing. I guess it just starts.
Or like
to get,
if Jake Worthington does it, it's okay.
Yeah,
but
sure.
If anybody else does it, I'm not. Right. Like you can't do it.
It just starts to get to a point where I'm like, this is. But I guess it works. People like it. That's cool. But then I get pigeonholed into that at times, and it's like, oh wait, hold on. That's not exactly what's going on here.
Yeah. I just went to a Blink 182 concert. That's what you.
Where'd you go?
No, you went.
Oh yeah.
I was being you.
I was so excited. I was like, me too.
We were probably there together.
Yeah, I know. And because like even some of my new music that I'm working on has a there's like a punk element to it, but it's still super rootsy and Americana. But I guess like the arrangements and some of the tempos and stuff and melodies have a little bit of like this grunge punky thing to them.
Cool.
But I've never heard it before.
I have a song on my last record called Table Manners that is a straight up punk rock song that was like, hey, this is one of my influences. These are people that I grew up with, all of that. So yeah. I want to do a song like that. And we did. And I think it's cool. And we play it live. And it's
so,
like,
the best way I could describe people's like perception or opinion about genres and how ridiculous it is. let me preface this by saying, like, listeners are, like, always 100% on accurate with, like, what they like. They're always right about what they like. Now, why they like it is where most of the times people don't know what they're talking about, because they'll be like, that is freaking, that's country right there. And I'm like, that was like a disco groove in the bridge, you know, like you just, but you don't know. Right. But they know whether or not they like it or they don't like it. So I can't argue with that. But I was at, after a show, there was two people that came up to me, like one directly after the other. That's why it was like so profound. This old guy came up to me after. He goes, man, I just love that you keep it like straight country. I love that about you. And I'm like, thank you, sir. I really appreciate that. Thank
That's
you.
That's not at all what I just...
The second person comes up was a lady, like younger. She, I think she was like in her 20s. And she goes, hey, I really enjoyed it. You know what I like so much about it? I was like, what? And she was like, I love that you don't just keep it straight country. It was back to back. And I go, thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Opposite opinions are the same.
Hey, this is Bree Bagwell. And if you want to listen to this podcast early and ad free, subscribe to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/Bree Bagwell.
Are you ready to take your merchandise to the next level? Well, just ask me who I use. And that is CH Lone Star Promo. They specialize in screen printing and direct to garment, embroidery, laser engraving, anything promo related. They can do it. Step up your merch game now with CH Lone Star Promo and tell them Bree and Whiskey sent you.
I get that too, or I love how your voices change, or I love how your songwriting changed. I hate how it's like, you never know. And it comes down to everything that we do. I mean, even my hair color was such a giant thing when I went brunette because of COVID. I let my hair grow out, and people were just so passionate about. And so you're right. The listener is right. The customer is right. But then you'd never know what they want or what they're perceiving. And both of those people liked the show. So that's the weird thing, is they both liked it, just for different.
Exactly. And so if you were trying to please either one of those people, you're not going to please either one of them.
Yeah.
Like, you can just do your own thing, and then they can develop totally different opinions and like you for totally different reasons. But if you go into just like serving that one person, then you just kind of lose the essence of like anything that you are as a person, in my opinion. So maybe I feel like it's a longer journey, but there's some people that I think start understanding it. It's a lot, but you know, I've noticed here in the last year or two, there's some people that are like, okay, all right, I'm starting to sort of get what you're trying to do.
Yeah, and it takes a long time for people to wrap, or even for me to really wrap myself around my image and what I want. I just know what I like, and then I feel like finally I've kind of come into myself the last couple years with kind of doing like more of a Southwest Spanish English thing, which is actually my roots. I was avoiding it, but I wasn't diving into it per se.
Okay.
So now it's kind of like who I am, and I sing in Spanish every night, and it's like, but it was always who I was. It was just, I was also in the Texas scene where I was like, I got to play a beer song, and I'm playing these festivals where I got to play fun songs and a whiskey song and a whatever, yep. You know? So it's like you kind of, but you're allowed to evolve and find yourself too, and find what works live and what doesn't, and what makes you happy and what doesn't. And that's all a journey that is just never ending.
And brutal.
It's brutal.
Oh, just brutal. And I see some of these young people that are getting like that quick. I mean, because with TikTok and Instagram now, like you can just, your first song that you put out can just absolutely explode, which is dope, but it's a double-edged sword too, because I can see some it might give like a little bit of false confidence where you haven't had to, you know, the ride up is easy, and it's like when you hit that moment where you start coming back down, and then you're like, oh wait, hold on, like they didn't like this one, and then like, now what do I do, and who am I, and what, all those questions. It is, you know, you got to count your blessings, because sometimes the things that seem like hardships or difficulties are oftentimes the biggest blessings, and that quick shoot to the top, and then you just don't even know who you are. So I'm happy for a lot of them, because I don't like to go down the jealousy rabbit hole. I think, you know, high tide raises all boats. Like, I want everybody to do well, but I get a little concerned for some of the young guys where, you know, they might not have to lean in as hard into like, who am I, and like, you know, work on their craft a little bit more. And
totally.
I think in a few years they might be like, oh shit.
A little bit of an identity crisis.
Yeah.
Well, I like what Will said about it, which was, you know, it's human nature to kind of be like, what the heck? And that, you know, to watch somebody kind of go
yeah, sure.
the fast route. But I don't know. it's all very interesting, and it didn't happen for me that way, but I think if it would have happened for me that way, I would have been a giant disaster of a human being.
Me too.
Okay, great. Yeah. And then you have the guy that's like...
Still kind of am.
Me too. Like, yeah. But not as much of a disaster as we would be. We got lucky and we found people that balance out.
Okay, you might have, but like my wife and I joke all the time, but like our biggest problem is we're too alike.
Paul and I are like polar opposite.
For real?
Yeah.
In what ways?
Have you met him at all?
I met him like once. I'm so like a lone wolf. I just don't know anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyways, I don't feel like I needed to give you like a full dissertation on whether or not I met him, but that could have been like a yes or no answer. No.
I love the personality analysis. Yeah, like, sure. It's totally fine. He's more quiet, more reserved, and incredibly logical. And I'm just kind of like, blah, 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 and incredibly emotional.
Okay.
I mean, we're alike in a lot of ways where we like the same things. We enjoy the same things, but personality-wise, we're very different. But it works great, so... but I was going to say that guy, then you have like the guy that comes to your show and he's going to leave. And you said, he's like, by the way, can you shoe my horses?
Oh yeah.
That's why you're actually on this podcast.
You got some horses, need shod. That wouldn't be a stretch.
Shod is such a strange past tense of shoe.
Are you familiar with it at all?
Well, I come from a long line of farmers and ranchers, but I picked up the guitar more than the reins. Whenever I'm in a video riding a horse, it's always in slow motion, just so you can't really tell exactly
whether you're loping or not.
I know a little bit about it, but I think it's wild that you just learn from somebody, and that's what you do. That's such a careful job.
Yeah,
being a farrier,
it's very particular, especially in my part of the world. Like, because the horses that I learned on and the stuff I was around was like a lot of big time show horses and stuff, so it wasn't like your backyard ponies and stuff. So you really had to know what you were doing. But like just growing up where I grew up, I was around a bunch of big time rodeo people, but I wasn't super into it. I've always had that thing. I just wanted to be different. And when I was younger, I wanted to be different for the sake of being different, which is pretty lame.
No, we all go through that.
Sure. But it's still lame. Right.
I don't want to say it's lame because I did it too.
You know,
it's lame.
Like, just because I know I used to be a douchebag doesn't mean I wasn't a douchebag.
And so,
yeah, I had to like hit a point where I just liked stuff because I liked it regardless. You know, same way with music. I don't not like stuff because it's popular, but I don't also only like stuff because it is.
Great. I think that's a great attitude to have.
Yeah. So the shoeing thing, I just ended up learning from my brother-in-law. So I kind of just fell into it. And then that's where I got like a love for horses and started getting on all that stuff. But yeah, shoeing, the past tense is shod. So like, I said I'm going to shoe 20 head, or I shod 20 head.
I just feel like it should be shotted.
Shot, that would make sense. And I mean, there was probably a guy at one point that just made up the word anyway. So
he had tobacco in his mouth and he was like, had to spit a shot.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's very funny. I just thought, do you think they call it Ferrier in Italy? No, that's a bad joke.
Ferrier.
Like Perrier?
Is that a French word?
No, I don't know. I should have, like, it
did
just,
you just
came
go British on me.
I don't know. But I just thought they might call it Ferrier because it's Perrier.
That's actually a good joke.
I didn't mean for it to be a joke. It just, I was looking at the sparkling water and I thought of Perrier and I thought
But that's on me. That actually.
You
that
don't know
good.
The origin of the word. How dare you not look?
No, I just mean I'm not quick enough to catch the joke. Oh. But that was pretty good because it's spelt almost the exact same.
Yeah.
One letter difference.
I
so
think.
So it probably could be Ferry. No, maybe? You're wrong. I think there's an A in Ferrier. See, but then I'm going to get roasted because there's people
you don't
that tell
even
me
know how to spell.
When I'm like, yeah, I'm a horseshoer. And they're like, it's Ferrier. And I'm like, well, I do it. So I'm going to say whatever I want.
That's like me being like, I'm a singer-songwriter. It's like, you're an entertainer.
Do people-
oh, here we go. Scottish and English, occupational name for a smith, one who shoed horses.
One who shoes horses, maybe.
From
present tense.
Old French
one
farrier,
horses.
Blacksmith, ironworker, medieval Latin, ferrarios. That sounds like a Harry Ferrarius. That's a Harry Potter.
That sounds like a spell.
Wingardium Leviosa. I love it. Okay, so we have this, like, my tour manager just brought me this VHS of Marty Robbins, and I love Strawberry Roan.
Thanks.
Did you just sing? It sounds to me like, I mean, it was so well done, but the way that it sounded and someone at the end is like, yeah, like you just did it one time and it was like, that's how it went.
See, that's funny. You pick up on that. That's really fun.
It's really good. It makes me want to get a campfire, get marshmallows. Like, that's...
So you got, like, a real, like, just kind of organic, roomy vibe from it?
Organic, roomy, totally. Like, it's...
Hell
it's,
yeah.
It's like, we have been freaking rounding up cows all day.
Hell yeah.
And now we're sitting around, and you're playing because the rest of us aren't talented. That's how it sounds like to me.
Well, that's really sweet. Yeah, so, like, the guy that I work with, he's my drummer, actually, but he's got a studio up in OKC. His name's Wyatt Lankford, and he's a dope, like, producer, unbelievable engineer, like, just nerds out
on
it.
I love that.
And so we have a studio up there now together, and we've just been working together for, like, a couple years, just recording over and over, trying to get, like, a lot better at room miking and, like, exploring a lot of that stuff and trying to get the essence of just me playing. Mm-hmm. You know how it is. Like, there's just a lot of stuff that gets in the way, and you get into a lot of these studios with a lot of engineers, and they have, like, a very... kind of formulaic way of recording and mixing you, and sometimes you can get kind of cut out of the equation of, like, what you actually sound like just in front of somebody.
Right. And that's right. That was captured very beautifully. Paul is such a nerd about mics and sound and room acoustics and stuff.
Well, and
so
you can hear it on their records. So
yeah, oh, he's so nerdy. I'm glad he found somebody to be nerdy with, because not me. I don't know anything about it. I don't really care.
But I'm a little bit with you, because I kind of get lost in this. I'm like, all right, I just want to, like, write a song and sing it. But
I know what I want it to sound like.
Yeah.
I just don't know how to make it sound that way.
Sure.
And I can also now tell when someone's in a hurry and compresses my voice too much or something. Like, I can tell, like, oh, that's what happened on this song or whatever. Yeah. But that takes just doing records and records and records. But you've gotten to make some great records, and you're with Boyd, which was the one with Boyd?
That was my first record.
Okay, that's amazing.
And then I worked a bunch with Serato, Josh Serato.
Love it.
So he was the one that engineered that first one. And then I ended up doing my second one, a bunch of stuff with him as well. And he taught me, like, so much. Just about, like, arranging and just putting a song together. Like, there's just so much to learn.
Yep.
And he taught me so much. And then, obviously, like, just getting to listen to Lloyd and...
Yeah, that's great. And Rachel Loy, who produces my stuff, and I guess her and Josh co-produced Will's last one or something, or maybe Josh.
Oh, Rachel does your stuff?
Yeah, Rachel does my stuff.
Wait, how much of all
she
of it?
She did my last two.
For real?
Yeah.
I need to go
need to go listen, because she's so badass.
Did she play bass on it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And she played bass and directed the whole, and produced. And the first record we did in 2018, she was also, like, 9 months pregnant. She was just doing it all. She's so amazing. But she sings Josh Rotto's praises, which is, like, a big deal to me when she, you know, she's like, he's gotten so good and he's really killing it. So.
I love that world of it. I'm not as, like, techie in terms of the hardware and stuff. But the people involved with records, like, a lot of folks don't realize. I mean, you hear a George Strait record, and it's like, George had, okay, this is going to be, like, sacrilege, but, like.
My face was like.
Yeah, I mean, he sang.
No, you do you. I'm going to drink out of nervousness.
He sang it. Drink your Ferrier. He sang it, and he's an unbelievable singer. But, like, the producers and engineers involved in that, like, most folks wouldn't quite understand how much goes into those levels of records. And it's probably better that people don't know, because sometimes you can get lost in it too. Like, I mean, you probably know when you get so into it and then you can't really listen to it just as it is, because you know, like, oh, what? Why'd they use that compressor on this? It's like, dude, nobody cares. Does it sound good or not?
Right.
You know?
And I love that Rachel wants to do most of that for me, because that works for me. I'm also, like, on the road all the time, so I can't. There's only so much room left in my brain for things and listening and sound and noise. And it's like,
do you listen to much music?
No.
Okay.
This is so bad.
I don't
know any, like, people are always like, and my darling tour manager, you met her, Ashley, she's 25. So she's like always, I just rely on her to tell me what I should listen to. If I need to listen to a song here and there, I'll do it, 'cause she says it. Otherwise I'm listening to either nothing, or I love a murder podcast, or an audiobook. You know, what about you?
I think that's pretty common if you do it so much. Also, if you're creating it, I think some people get a little tripped out when they listen to music with me, because I'm hypercritical, but it's not from a point of that's like me almost participating and enjoying it. Is being critical of it. Like, okay, that's interesting that they would do that. Like, you're analyzing it, which is why I don't passively listen to music. I have a hard time doing it, because then I just start, like, really, like, it's an activity for me.
That Paul and I do that all the time. Yeah. Like, it's like, we're not, and when you talk about sounds and things, and or some of the new stuff that has been coming out lately that is out of tune, I can't even listen to it. I'm like, who let this happen? And that drives me so crazy that I'll be like, this person is selling this many tickets and this is giant out of tune. Like, how is this happening? Yeah. So then the correlation makes me mad and then my day is ruined. So,
okay. But hot take, like, why do you think people like it?
I don't know.
Hold on though. Like, really think about why they might like it.
Cause they're out of tune.
Oh, like philosophically, you mean? Like, they're just, yeah, exactly. They're humans. Totally. Yeah. There's like a lot of truth there.
Interesting.
I mean, we got hammered in the early 2000s when they first discovered tuning everything. And then also like just the high fidelity recordings, which like everything was just so perfect.
That's too perfect. Yeah.
Right.
We don't do that.
And it was like the drums were just like right here and the vocals were right here and it was all perfectly in tune, you know? And then like with the genres that we're in, we're actually like compared to like EDM or hip hop or rap, like a lot of those are synthetic digital sounds, right? And then in our world, we're taking acoustic instruments, like in the real world, trying to record them and then put them in a digital form. So, like, you know, you tune a guitar, an acoustic guitar, it'll be in tune, but like when you play it certain ways, it's going to be out of tune. Mm-hmm. If you were to play that up against like a perfectly tuned piano, right, digitally, there would be like a rub. Like so you like take all these real world instruments, put them in the digital form, then take a vocal over top and then tune the vocal perfect, but the acoustic instruments aren't tuned perfectly. So there's like a weird, like the voice sounds digital almost. And I think that just happens so much that when some people just kind of had the courage to just do some stuff that like kind of sounded bad and out of tune.
Yeah.
Some younger generations were like, they liked it because it sounded real.
Hmm.
And we had just been freaking smashed with all this kind of fake synthetic sounding stuff.
Yeah, I could see that. But the one I'm talking about is real bad.
I know who you're talking about. I know exactly who you're talking
just
about.
Just kidding.
I know exactly who
it's
it
fine,
is.
It's fine. But
we'll
I'm
say on the count of three, we say the name.
Jared Morris. No, I'm just kidding. Bree Bagwell.
You could not have done that better.
No, and I'm not saying that I'm a perfect singer. I'm definitely not. But I'm okay with tweaking enough where it's not distracting to the listener.
Agreed.
But I also, I don't want to
We're doing
sing
enough takes.
Totally.
Where it's just good.
Yeah.
Right?
Changing that key.
Like I saw a thing with Alicia Keys where she's never done any, and also the whole tuning thing on vocals, like a lot of people kind of say auto-tune just like generally. Mm. And like a high level of recording, they're not like auto-tuning.
They're Melodyning.
Yeah, it's a different software program. But, so like, but I always heard Alicia Keys never did any tuning on her vocals.
Wow.
And that was like the big thing with her and her label was like, no, I don't want it. They want to hear me get, but it's also a freaking Alicia
That's
Keys
amazing,
singing.
Yeah.
And she's probably doing 100 takes or whatever. You
right.
know? So also there's time constraints, but I feel you. I see both sides because there are ones I listen to some music and I'm like, good, like tune your guitar. But then at some point it's kind of cool when you hear in the lyrics, like when they're like, I like my guitar a little out of tune.
Oh.
It's like,
oh, okay. Well, that would be fine with
me. You know
me.
What I mean?
Yeah, that would be fine with me.
I think it's the self-awareness that bugs me.
Yeah,
like, you don't know your attitude.
Right.
Yeah,
that's tough for me.
Yeah, for
and then
sure.
if my guitar's out of tune once, like I'll get a tweet at Steamboat when it was like 5 degrees and it was like, a girl didn't tune her guitar. It's like,
oh, no.
Well, no. It's cold. And if I don't do it once, the whole chick singer thing gets blanketed as we can't tune our guitars. But like for other people, it's cool. Maybe that's where my anger is coming from.
Do you want to solve all of the female
well, we only have 2 minutes
relations
left.
in the Texas country world.
Sure. Do you have the answer?
No. I was seeing if you wanted to solve it. I definitely don't have the answers.
Oh, no. It can't be solved. I've been trying for years and years. No, it's gotten a lot better, honestly.
Yeah, but it's probably tough for you. You get like the freaking, you're like, have to like wave the banner or wave the flag.
I've been waving that flag for a long time, but it's, you know what? Like, there's more girls than ever. We all get along, and it's changing. It's still got a long ways to go, but it's changing.
Yeah.
That's all I can say about it.
Well, I identify as a woman, so I'll like, carry the torch, too.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, I think, like, it's just not, I don't know. There was a podcast that said, like, I don't know who I would have on here, female musicians. Like, who would I have on here and what would we even talk about? And I was like, what? That's so strange. You would just have me and we could just talk about normal things. So that I appreciate you inviting me on your podcast because,
oh, I said that on my podcast?
No, somebody else. You gotcha. Would never say that on your... Did you say that on your podcast?
I don't think so.
No, you didn't.
I mean, maybe.
That. No. But I think we can just exist. Like, you're...
I have a sign on the door that says no women allowed. But other than that, there's nothing really that weird.
Other than that, yeah. And you can only...
You
can.
You have to sit outside. We run a cable out there. You don't make eye contact. But other than that, there's really not...
Make sure you cover your... face. Yeah. Yeah. Other than that, we're good to go.
Yeah, I shoot it in the Middle East. So yeah. You're good.
Shot it. Yeah. Is that where we should end it, Kyle? Well,
that was
I appreciate
a good callback.
It. Yeah. Thank you. And I was wondering what you were going to rhyme with coyote, but you rhymed scope with coyote.
Oh.
And I was like, now that's a great job.
Thanks
for being here. I'm a fan. I can't wait for the new stuff to come out. We didn't talk about it. We didn't need to.
No, it's all good. Likewise.
More. Part two next time.
That's right.
Every day I spend my time bending steel and beating on iron, breaking my back half broken down by the day's end. And every night is a crowded bar, an opening act for an actual star. Hoping someday I have my own fans. From years and years, forging who I am on that old anvil stand.